Hello, fabulous listeners. This is Nicole, and I am dropping into your earbuds really quick to tell you that my new book for career changers is finally out. Many of you know I've spent the better part of a year writing and editing and getting this book to my publishers in order to make sure you've got the most upgraded career advice as we head into the new year, heck, new decade. So if you're thinking about making some big changes in the next year in your career, I want you to get this book. It's called Punch Doubt in the Face: How to Upskill, Change Careers, and Beat the Robots. And let me tell you, this book is unlike any other career advice book you're going to experience. And I don't want to spoil the surprises, but I assure you, there's going to be a couple of things in there that you're going to be going, huh, I never thought about it quite like that. So you can get my book on Amazon ebook or print version, whatever you choose. And if you're looking for an Amazon alternative, the book is also available at places like Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million, and wherever else books are sold online. So if you or someone you know is thinking of making big career changes, I want you to get your hands on my new book. All right, enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. It is Nicole, and I am your host of 50 Conversations, the podcast where I attempt to have 50 conversations with career changers to bring you their stories, their experiences, and make career changes more exciting for you. Today's guest is Cori Lynn, who I have already been chatting with, and she is full of stories to share. So we're going to attempt to capture her career change story and her career journey for you today. Hello, Cori. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Heck yeah. So I love to start off with kind of a general open-ended question. What are you doing for work right now?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. What I'm doing for work right now is that I'm a burnout coach for women in tech. And what that means is I help women in tech deprogram and reprogram their brain, because we pick up a lot of cultural narratives throughout our life, and our brain also has a lot of biases in place. And so helping people like take what's in there out, look at it, play with it, put it back in an order that makes sense to them. But the shorter version is I help women learn how to crush it at work without work crushing them.
Oh, I love that. Yes. This is one of the reasons I was really excited to talk to you, because you have had this journey from being outside of tech and getting into tech. And then now you run your own coaching program for women in tech. And so we haven't had someone on here that's kind of in that space. So tell me, obviously, you haven't been doing this forever. So how did you get, what were you doing before this? How did you get to this point?
Yeah. That's a great question. And also, like, why women in tech? So yeah, I used to be a woman in tech. I worked at Expedia in Bellevue, and I had so much fun there, but I also learned a lot. And I worked in IT. IT people are amazing. What they taught me was that I can learn how to do anything, because when they have problems, they're like, I'm just going to figure this out. I love that from a mindset piece.
Yeah.
But yeah. I also, though, watched all these amazing, amazing people, but especially women, just do all these things that they often didn't want to do, but they felt like they had to do to succeed at work. And I was really curious, like, does it have to be that way? And if it doesn't, what could change? And they used to call me the office life coach, actually, which was like...
the office life coach?
Yeah, they called me that. And actually I still have clients who they're my old coworkers from Wikipedia. They're like, well, now that you're not here, we have to actually hire you. but I was always like trying to like figure out like, how can we make this just as amazing and make our work product just as good? And also like have like a good time and take care of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting. You know, you had said before you were doing this, you were at Expedia and IT, but you weren't IT yourself. You weren't doing the IT work, right? You were doing something different. Tell me about
right.
that. Because I happen to know from stalking your LinkedIn that you actually have an MFA and a liberal arts background. So how did you get from like that into this IT path?
It's super funny. My undergrad was in English and French. I have a master's degree in creative writing.
Wow.
I did some freelance writing. I did a little stint at a marketing company as like a project manager / writer / the way it is at small companies. And then I actually got laid off from that company when they closed their Seattle office. And then I was like working with all these agencies that help people get placed And one of them wanted to put me up for this job, and it was a communications job in IT. And I was like, I don't think I'm qualified for that. And they were like, no, you totally are. So that was like a light bulb moment for me.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, because it's like know. IT. What happens in IT? Like, I don't know.
Right? I had no idea. Like, legit, no idea what was happening in IT. Yeah. I just knew that they got yelled at when things didn't work.
Yeah,
so,
that's accurate.
Turns out that part,
is that true?
A little. But so what I got to do was I got to help the IT department communicate with the entire company and tell them what was happening and explain all the things IT was doing to try to make their life better. Mm-hmm. And it was such an amazing thing to get to do because no one wants to read their IT email. So if I could get them to want to read their IT email, like, that's incredible. I was emailing like over 25,000 people, which also, like, I would just be like, oh my God, I have to press send, but what if there's a typo?
Oh my God, like, how do you push send on that? 25,000 people, wow.
You read it twice, you get approval. How you press send is you press send. Like, that's what everything in life comes down to.
One of the things I like doing about this is sometimes you find these little nuggets of things that people do in their job, right? You know, a lot of times we have these job titles that we don't quite know. What does it actually mean to do that? And this is a great example of, you know, someone working in communications and IT, not something you think about very often. And here you are responsible for emailing the whole company, you know, like, that's incredible. Did anyone ever ask you to be like, oh, so you're the one whose names are on our emails all the time?
Well, so no one actually like knew that because it came from like a box, right?
Oh,
so like,
okay.
I was just like, you could never know if it was me or someone else on the team that I was on. But IT comms, shockingly, was so well known at Expedia because they were such an old comms team that all kinds of other comms teams would come to us and ask for our expertise on things. So it was like delightfully unexpected the way that like people loved that team. And that was such a joy to be part of a team that people just loved and thought really highly of. And people would like ask my opinion and then value what I said. It was lovely.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because a lot of times when we talk about like career changes and career hops and stuff like that, you know, we tend to think of it as like, oh, it's intentional. I just do this. Like, I've made this choice to make, do this path. And in your case, it kind of found you. Right? You were kind of plucked out by this agency and said, hey, you know what? You fit over here. You didn't even know you fit.
Right. And I was trying to be a copywriter. I was trying really, really hard to be a copywriter. And none of the ad agencies were like into me at all. And then I got picked up by IT and I was like, oh, because these are like my people. Because they're like, I was like, well, what animes do you watch? And like, we're like being dorky together. And I was like, oh, I belong here, right?
Yeah.
Like, I might have fit in somewhere else, but I belong over here with these people.
Yeah. That's so cool to hear. So when you think about kind of what this process was like, you know, was there any part of it, like, as you're going through this kind of new job in this new space and realizing, hey, this is a fit for me, did that reshape, like, what you were thinking of going forward? Did that change things? Or were you just kind of like, well, this is where we're at? Like, what was that like? Did it change your career path? I mean it did, but.
Yes. Well, like, yes and no. Like, there was this way in which I was like, oh, if I can be here and love this and be in this role I'd literally never even thought of before.
Yeah.
And be having a lot of fun, be doing a lot of cool projects, meeting all these amazing people. I was like, anything is possible, right? It really like kind of shook up what I thought about like myself and people and like what a career has to be.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, even like way back in the day, I always knew I wanted to be a coach, which, and I was always kind of like, I want to be a coach, but like, I don't actually even know what that means or what that's about. So going into IT and finding a home for myself there, just it really allowed me to evolve into a new version of myself and to really flourish and to really up-level a lot of the stories and ideas I had about myself. Mm-hmm. And that up-leveling and that like flourishing in a place that I had no idea I would flourish in gave me so much, it grounded me and also taught me that it's not my job to actually know what's possible. It's my job to show up and kick ass, right?
Yeah.
So once that had happened, like when I then made the transition to leaving IT, it it was so much more purposeful and intentional and like, yes, I know exactly what I want to do, because I also was like, I know how to be happy in this other role. I'm not leaving to run away from anything. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving because of, I want to actually focus all of my attention and energy on helping other women blow their own minds mm-hmm. with like the life that they can create for themselves.
Yeah.
And so, yes and no. That was like a big answer. Yeah. I think it was just yes and no.
No, that's what I like
that's
about
what writers are.
Yeah, no, and you know, but I like about that because, you know, I think we tend to think of career changes as kind of these very intentional, clean things, but they're messy, right? And that process of trying to figure out, well, what is it I actually like? Like how many people like step back and say, wait a minute, what do I like? What do I actually like about, you know, my work or, you know, the company I work for? And there's a benefit in that kind of self-reflection, right? Of being able to think through some of those things and then kind of make a path forward. When I think about like your experience, what was it like to like leave a full-time job to go work on coaching?
I mean, legit, completely terrifying.
Yeah.
I just like, you know, like you do sometimes, I've made the decision. Okay. I'm in like a couple months, I'm going to leave. Mm-hmm. And I like sat on it. And then I gave my notice, like I think a full month or two out from when I planned to leave. And I, honestly, if I had had any idea how much work it would be to get a coaching business off the ground, I probably would have been even more scared. And I'm glad that I didn't know because what happened was I quit the corporate job. I did have a plan. I did have money that I had saved up. And I just worked the plan that I had at the level that I could. And I just kept going, right? Because mm-hmm. in the first 6 and 9 months of my business, it's like I could either choose to be disappointed in myself constantly mm-hmm. and like I'm a human, so at some moments I was disappointed,
yeah,
or I could choose to be like, oh my god, this is an amazing puzzle/adventure and this is what I want, and I'm willing to put in the work, and I'm willing to like coach myself so that I can keep showing up and to love the challenge, not to tolerate the challenge, not even to like just keep showing up, but to like, how do I love it?
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
this is what I chose. And I think there's so many things that people want that we don't do because we're afraid of how hard it will be.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes like when you make it through, like when you crest the wave of that, that's like the best
feels
part.
So good.
You're like, I did this thing that was so hard and I didn't give up. And like, it's, like then what else is possible, right?
Just yeah,
like
when I
in IT, like I was like, wait, so many things are possible and so many more.
Yeah. I love your use of the word possible, you know, because really it's that looking forward and saying, okay, instead of saying like, I don't know what to do, I don't know which way, like being like, okay, but what's possible? What could I do? Right?
What's possible? Yeah. What would I like to create?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people are like, what should I do? As though there's a right answer. And
yeah, there's not.
There's a right answer. And I'm like, yeah, like, because guess what? Right and wrong are always opinions.
Yeah.
And opinions are in at each of our minds, right? So like, I can look back at my life and say everything I did was right.
Mm-hmm.
I could choose mm-hmm. that perception. Most mm-hmm. people do that. But I can also like, sometimes doing something that later you wish you had done differently, like that can also be beautiful. And I think we keep our lives so small and safe trying to keep from doing the wrong thing,
mm-hmm.
but we also sometimes keep ourselves from doing like the fun thing,
the
loving thing.
Yeah. And there is, you know, it's interesting going back to that idea of, you know, things that are hard, right? You know, and yes, career changes are hard, or taking a new job is hard, and learning is hard, but there's other things that come out of that. You know, there's joy in learning. There's joy in looking back and saying, oh my God, I just did that. There's, you know, happiness in finding something that's really interesting to you that you can dive into now and then get paid for it. You know what I mean? And so,
yeah,
I you know, we miss that when we talk about things being hard. We miss all these other feelings that it can be. Yes, it's hard, but it's all these other things too. I'm curious for you. I ask this with every guest, but you're the first business owner I've had on here. So I'm curious, how many career changes do you think you'll have in your life?
So I've already, like, I would consider myself as a person who's already had several career changes. Like, I taught English in France. I was a nanny. Ooh. I was a bartender. I worked in, like, a bajillion coffee shops. I was a freelance writer, a project manager. But, like, coaching is something I love so much and so deeply that now it's, I don't really see it as like, oh, I'm going to be a coach and I'm going to do something else. It's just like, what kind of coaching am I going to do? Who am I going to serve? Am I going to be coaching people one-on-one? Am I going to be speaking? Am I going to be running workshops in Sweden? I'm really hoping for workshops in Sweden.
I am also hoping for workshops. That is a great idea. Workshops in Sweden. Like, talk about goals. Talk about goals.
And like, I love the way writing and coaching overlap because a lot of coaching work, to me, it's about language. It's about how we're using our words to either build possibilities or build prisons for ourselves, basically. And so I like to do a lot around self-narrative and stuff like that. So there's all kinds of different ways that could look.
Yeah, you can hear it in like the language that you use, just again about those possibilities. Like, what are the possibilities, you know? And especially for you and your coaching and stuff like that. For anyone, for the last question here, you know, obviously we've got listeners that are thinking about changing careers. What's your advice to them?
Yeah, I think this is a beautiful question. And I think my advice to them would be to get out a blank piece of paper and to just say, like, if anything were possible, the career I would really love to try is, and then write what it is, but then write because, and then just go for as long as you can, like really get into like, what lights you up about that? What's the nuance in there? Because you might find that like, you really want to be an astronaut and physiologically it's too late because you're 45, but there's like little pieces in there that you could capture in a different career. I think we spend a lot of time like looking kind of at concrete details, but there's like things where you can pull something into another space, like where you're like, oh, well, if I think that I would feel joyful, like studying outer space, like there's other ways I could do that. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe I want to write a sci-fi novel, like things that wouldn't be like a logical leap.
Right.
But when you really get into like, what do I think that's going to do for me? What parts of me is that going to delight and why?
Yeah.
I think for a lot of us, like what we want is a break from the life that we have because we want like the quiet time to even think about what we want.
Yeah.
Like when I talk to people about their dream job, they describe a vacation, but I'm like, you would get bored with that eventually. People don't believe me, but I'm like, you totally would. If everyone else is at work and you're at the beach after a while, you're like,
well, okay, I got to do something.
Yeah. Like people, that's like the irony about the hard thing. It's like people love effort. But they forget they love effort. And part of the reason is because of one of the brain biases, right? Your lizard brain wants to preserve energy. Like it wants to seek pleasure, avoid pain, and preserve energy. So sometimes when you want to do something, it's like, I don't want to. And you confuse it with yourself. But it's like just a parrot that only says like three things. So you got to just be like, shh.
I'm going to think that next time my brain's saying some weird shit, I'm going to be like,
right, next time your prefrontal cortex is like, I want to do an adventure, and your lizard brain's like, couch.
And my brain is always wanting to do an adventure, that's for sure. The minute you said workshops in Sweden, I was there. So,
workshops.
That was fabulous advice. I really, what I appreciate too is like, you can see where like some of your background comes in and giving that advice, you know, that time to really sit down and again, not many people sit down and like actually put it to paper, right? Get it out of your head, get it out of there. We got too much going on in our head anyways. Put it down on paper, look at it, spend time with it, you know, and it's powerful. And I think that's great advice. To end on. So I really enjoyed your story today. So thank you for sharing this. I could talk to you for so much longer.
Totally. And thank you so much for having me. I love this project. I love like any kind of transition. So I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Thank you for the enthusiasm. I too am really excited. I love the idea of just being able to like show all the different ways. I mean, you're a coach, you understand like there are so many different ways that people can change careers or, you know, find a path or a path finds them. Like there's just so many options and being able to like show the ways that people have done it, I think is really valuable. So it's been a lot of fun. Yeah. All right. Well, for all of our listeners, that wraps up this week's conversation. We'll be back with more. In the meantime, you can find all the podcasts on futureskills.blog, or you can go to iTunes and look for 50 Conversations. Till then, see you next time.
Hello, listeners. I hope you enjoyed that show. I just want to let you know about my new book, Punch Doubt in the Face, How to Upskill, Change Careers, and Beat the Robots. It is currently available, and it's going to help you make some big moves in your career. I wrote this book for anybody that's stuck in a mediocre job, because as someone who's had over 20 jobs in their lifetime, I have most definitely been stuck in a mediocre job. And I want to help you get out of that mediocre job, because there's no shame in leaving a job that's uninspiring or unfulfilling. I want to help you make big moves. So I wrote this book. If you're curious, check it out. It's called Punch Doubt in the Face, How to Upskill, Change Careers, and Beat the Robots, and it's available now.